beyond the present and they see in the future and they see what's coming, and God speaks to them the word that needs to come forth. And then apostles are those that have the abiding authority to go in and to do new works and establish and to bring forth structure and to help to empower and to bring forth the others. If you take a look at your hand really fast and you take away the apostle, you're going to try to pick up a cup with just four. But if you can get the apostle and the prophet together, they can start to pick some things up. But pretty soon, you'll see the evangelist reaches beyond everybody else. And you see that the pastor is married to Christ in the church. And you see that the teacher is right there with the pastor. And if you put down the hand and you try to do this and you try to, you can lift the pinky. But when you go to lift the middle finger, the teacher finger comes up with it. Praise the Lord. The Lord has functions in the hand, that the hand of God may move and people's lives may be touched. And we have wonderful staff and ministry here. We're glad to have our assistant pastor with us. Praise the Lord. That is Mr. Jason Baer. Yeah. Then you'll see, like Minister Lene is here with, and she's a minister, praise the Lord. And Minister April Liddell, you've heard from her many times before. You'll hear from other ministries, and then young ministries that are coming up, you will hear also. But we're thankful, and I'm thankful for Prophetess Brenda McClintock in the house, First Lady of the Lord, praise the Lord, right here at Eagle Heights Worship Center, and all that. And just amazes me that God is doing that, because we're a miracle church. We're a miracle church. And then A little bit, we're going to formally introduce some other people in other positions that are being trained, because it's evident already on you. But we're going to stand to our feet, and we're going to make welcome, praise the Lord, the husband to my daughter-in-law, the son to my wife and I, and our associate pastor right here at Eagle Heights Worship Center. Would you give God a praise as Pastor David comes to minister the word of God to us during revival now?
We'll give God praise, somebody, because he's been good to you. He's been better to you than you've been to yourself. Oh, Jesus. Praise the Lord, everybody. Man, I'm so glad you're here today. Listen, before we dive in, we want to dismiss the super kids at this time to go with Mr. Shea. And as they're being dismissed that way, go and tell someone, I am so glad you're here today. Just go tell someone, I'm so glad you're here today. Someone you didn't come with. Someone you don't know. I'm so glad you're here today. So glad you're here today. Amen. Lord is good. Lord is good and worthy to be praised. Man, I love seeing all of your beautiful faces here this morning. Have we had a time in the presence of the Lord or what? Man, we are a blessed church. Amen. And I believe that not only did we have the move of the Spirit that was touching people, but now we're going to have a move of his word. Amen. I've been praying over this word. I've been seeking God on this word. And we'll dive in just a minute. I got to testify to you for just a second. Because, man, this week, y'all, Pastor David was sick in his body. Even on Wednesday night when I was teaching purpose groups, I almost had to dismiss the purpose group early, which I never do. And so I went home, and I'll never forget. At 1:30 in the morning on Wednesday night, I woke up. And I was in pain. I was feeling very nauseous. I was very weak in my body, feeling very, very sick and not feeling good at all. And I went to my Lazy Boy recliner, because that's like my refuge area. Just if you get in that chair, it'll help you just a little bit. So I got in the chair, and I began to just sit there in anguish and just sit there in despair. And I was thinking, oh, yeah, wait a minute. I'm saved. I'm a believer. So I just put my hand where I was hurting. And I just said, Jesus. 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 And I began to weep and began to cry. Because even as I just said his name, the nausea started to lift. As I began to say his name, the strength started to come. As I began to say his name, the sickness started to flee. So I want to tell you this morning, saints of God, his power is still real. His spirit is still real. He is a living God. He is a breathing God. And if he can do it for me, he can do it for you too. Sometimes you just got to say the name Jesus. Sometimes you just got to get into his presence and believe that he will do it. And it started reminding me of a song that goes, something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name that I know. Now, you may be wondering, Pastor David, why do y'all worship so much? Why do y'all sing so many songs? Because he cared enough to heal my nausea. He cared enough to touch my body. We got to understand he's not a dead God, but he is a living, breathing, caring Savior that cares for each and every one of you. And no matter what you're going through, I don't care if it's nausea, I don't care if it's the flu, I don't care if it's turmoil, I don't care if it's depression, there's something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest, sweetest, sweetest name that I know. His name is higher than football. His name is higher than Bud Light. His name is higher than my relationships. His name is higher than my boss's name. It is the sweetest name that I know. So I just wanted to testify to you about that. Because if it happens in me, what happens in the head has to get into the body. So I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you may be experiencing this morning, but let Pastor David encourage you. His spirit is real. His power is real. He is a real living God. And if we believe that he is real, then we got to believe that his words are real. Amen? We got to believe that his spirit is real. We can't just believe in the routine of God and not believe in the relationship of God. A lot of times, let me teach for a moment, we believe so much in the routine of God, we forget that there is a relationship with God. You see, relationship says, I'll meet you at 1:30. Routine says, I'll meet you on Sunday morning. But relationship says, I'll meet you at 1:30 in your living room, when you're in pain, when you're crying, when you have no strength, when you don't have no word for Sunday, for nobody, you ain't got nothing left in the tank. That's what relationship says. Relationship says, when my husband walked out on me, Lord, I still believe you. Relationship says, when I got fired from my job, God, you still provide. I'm not talking about routine this morning. I'm talking about the name of Jesus that is above all names, King of Kings, El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shammah, my God today. Jesus said, greater works than these shall you do. I feel the Lord in this place. Greater works than these shall you do. Because there's something about the name Jesus. So I want to encourage you this week. Some of us are new in the faith. Just call on his name. When you face a heavy mountain and it seems like you can't move, say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It is the sweetest name that I know. Let me encourage you this morning. There is still power in his name. There is still power in his name. His name, it invokes and invites him in. When you seek him, he says, I'm coming to you. When you call on him, he says, I'm coming to you. So be encouraged this morning, saints of God. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And his name is all powerful. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. I just had to testify about that. Well, saints of God, let's stand to our feet this morning as we dive into the word. And we're gonna eat a very mature word this morning. Amen. Very mature. So it may challenge you just a little bit. It may prick your toes just a little bit. But I want to encourage you, it's okay, it's a good thing, and we in this together, amen? So just know Pastor David's not here to condemn nobody. I don't condemn nobody. I love everybody. But when God gives me the meat, I serve it, amen? When he gives you the meat, you serve it. He don't give me the steak, and I put it back in the fridge. I serve it, amen? So you ready to feast this morning? Who believes in the words of Jesus? Okay, who wants to be closer to Jesus? Okay, so who loves Jesus? Okay, all right. Go ahead and put up my first scripture this morning. The title of my message is Building a Firm Foundation. Our scripture is John 14 and verse 15. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I came out strong. I got all of you. I said, do you love him? I love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, these are not the words of Pastor David. These ain't the words of Prophetess Brenda or Apostle Don. These are the words of Jesus. You said you loved him and you believed him. Amen. So I got you. Okay. So today I'm talking about building a firm foundation. What I want you to notice from this first verse is that Jesus says, if you love me. He didn't say, if you like me. He didn't say, if you thought about me. But Jesus says, if you love me. Even though this is such a short verse, this is such a powerful verse. Jesus is trying to show us a deeper level of relationship. You have to understand, this verse is a relational verse, right? How many has ever been in love before? Married couples, you better raise your hand. Amen. You're about to be in trouble. You better raise them. We're going to have to pray for your deliverance in the name of Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, right? He says, not if you want to. Not when you feel like it. Not when you feel convicted. Not when it's most convenient for you. But Jesus says, simply, if you love me. And it's as simple as that. What I want us to notice over and over and over all throughout the Bible, Jesus wants us to have a relationship with him. This is a relational verse. This says, if you love me. I mean, I like some people, all right? But I don't have the deep love for some people that I have for my wife. There's different levels, amen? I love some people at a friendship level. I love them with the love of Christ, but the same love I have for my wife, I don't got for everybody, amen? So Jesus is trying to teach us a relationship level of love. This word love in the Hebrew root does not mean friendship love. Jesus wasn't saying, if you like me as your friend, keep my commandments. This Hebrew word love in the Hebrew means to breathe after. It means I love you so much I can't breathe without you. That's what Jesus is saying. If you love me, if you can't breathe without me, if you can't live a day without me, keep my commandments. We'll dive in that in just a moment. Let me give you some modern day examples of love, okay? So we've all been in love before. Some of us, you're in love right now. Married couples, I hope you're in love. And there's something that love does to you. Love makes you cancel all the appointments so you can spend time with that significant other. Right? Watch this. Love makes you go spend the money you were saving for yourself on that significant other because you wanted to bless them. Love makes you want to break down any door that would try to come between you and the significant other. Love makes your heart beat a little bit faster when you start thinking about that other person. I'm talking about love this morning. Love makes you forgive your significant other quickly. Love makes you happy when that significant other walks through the door after not seeing them all day. Love makes you ask the significant other if spending time with the boys is okay, and then they say, because I love you, go spend time, play some Madden, but don't stay out too late. Love says, babe, go get your nails done, and when you get back, I'll have dinner ready for you. I'm just giving some examples of modern-day love. Come on, man. If the ladies are like, oh, I wish my husband would do that, step up your game. Step up your game. Come on, get on the level with Pastor David. I made salmon night with candlelight, with the music and the saxophone. I said, baby, you come home. I got dinner ready for you because I love you. I'll go spiritual in just a minute. Come on, we're talking about love. Anyone ever experienced love before? Come on. Married couples, think back when you was dating and he picked you up in your car and he smelled so nice and he took you to a nice restaurant. Come on. You start falling in love. Come on. We're talking about love this morning. Amen. Love says, I can't live a day without you. Love says, if I go a day without you, I want to die. Oh, that's okay. Y'all don't know that kind of love. You see, these are just a few examples of love in relationships around us. Now, what we can do is draw principles from those examples to understand what Jesus is saying. You see, Jesus isn't saying, if you liked me. He's saying, if you love me. I need you to understand this morning, if you love me. How many knows, Jesus didn't say there, if you believe in me. So what Jesus is teaching us is that there's another step beyond salvation. Believing him was your first step. Then he says, now if you love me. So you came into relationship with me, and now you got to fall in love with me. On the first date, I wasn't in love with Miss Megan. But through the process of relationship, I fell in love. As the church, we got to understand that there is more steps beyond salvation. Too many times we came to the cross and went back to our old routines. We went back to our ways of doing life because we thought the cross was the end game. But the cross was your starting point. The cross was your starting point to relationship. Jesus says, if you love me. Woo, okay, I'm teaching today. I'm not talking about deep friendship love, but I'm talking about a deep, close love. And I'm talking about a love that says, I will not go a day without you. I cannot breathe without you. Jesus, I'm breathing after you in my work life. Jesus, I'm breathing after you in my worship life. Jesus, I'm breathing after you. And Jesus says, if you love me like that, keep my commandments. Someone say deep love. Yeah, see, I'm talking about love that makes us run after him day or night. I'm talking about love that makes us sacrifice what we wanted for what he wanted. Love that gives back to him saying, Lord, I present to you my body as a living sacrifice. Love that says, my will is not above your will, Lord. Let your will be done. Love that says, Jesus, I can't go a day without you. I can't live without you, Father. Love that says, I'll sing to you in the shower and heap worship and praises upon you. Love that says, when I'm discouraged, I still love you, Lord. Love that says, the trials of my life can't pull me away from you, Lord. You see, true love and relationship says, no matter what happens, it will not pull us apart till death do us part. And that needs to be the same for our relationship with Christ. You don't have to take me home to separate me from Jesus. Because I love him that much. Love that says, I'll not be ashamed of you, Lord. Love that says, I'll press through my desires to get to your desires. You hear me this morning? I know I'm hitting deep, but it's okay. We'll shout in just a little while. You see, so many times we focus on how much Jesus loves us, and we need to, because his love is amazing, and there's nothing that can separate us from his love. But Jesus says in this word, in this verse, if you love me, he puts the verse on us. Did you know that as Christians, we have a choice whether or not to love him? There is a, being saved does not automatically mean that you just love God deeply. But there is a choice that rests upon us. And Jesus says, if, that's a decision, if you love me, keep my commandments. God, saints of God, that is the first step to loving on him, is keeping his commandments. I know this is in deep in it. Just say amen. Amen. Just say amen. Now watch this. The word keep means obey. If you love me, obey my commandments. Now, whoa, 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 before everybody gets upset and everyone gets offended. Pastor David, you just said the dirty word obey. The modern age has made the word obedience a bad guy. The modern age has made obedience, it makes you look weak if you obey. If you obey, you're being controlled if you obey. This world has made it out that if there's anything else that doesn't fit into what you don't like, you don't got to obey it. This world says if it's not within what you feel is right for the moment, then you don't need to listen to it. The world has made the word obedience a bad guy, but I've come to tell you he's a good guy. The word obedience is a good thing. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey my commandments. There is strength when you obey. There is blessing when you obey. There is overflow when you obey. Obedience is not the bad guy, but the bad guy is the world. The bad guy is pride. The bad guy is when we are convinced we can do whatever, what in the world we want to do. And that right there is pride, my friends, my saints of God. But Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, he didn't say, if you love me, do whatever you want and ignore the truth. No, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Obey the words that I have given you. Live your life for me, says Jesus. That means it's our faith and hope in him over our feelings. A lot of times what hinders our obedience is our feelings. We are a very feely-feely generation. If I didn't feel like doing it, I ain't gonna do it. If I don't feel like doing it at my job, I'm going to tell them, you don't pay me enough to do it. If I don't feel like doing it, I don't do it. But when we're talking about relationship with Jesus, love says, even though I don't feel like doing it, I'm going to keep his commands. Even though I don't want to pray right now, I'm still going to pray. Even though, God, you told me to fast, I don't want to fast. I like my meals. I'm going to fast anyways because I love you. Love overrides your feelings. You saints of God, it's our faith and hope in him over our feelings. When life tries to sway me one way, your words, oh God, are a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. They guide me through the wavy places in my life. So many of us are being shaken by the waves because we did not obey the word. You see, when God was giving you a word to make you obey, we're like, Jesus, are you being a dictator to me? Jesus, are you trying to control me? No, he says, I'm trying to guide you through the wavy places in your life. I'm trying to get you to a place of peace. I'm trying to get you to a place that's above the storm. And if you can just listen to my commandments, if you can just obey my commandments, you will save yourself all those waves you've been facing. Someone say, keep his commandments. Watch this. What you got to realize is that anything Jesus said is only for the advancement and growth for your life. There is nothing that he said that will take away from your life. It is only for the advancement and growth for your life. When you realize that, you say, oh, it's easy to obey you now. Yes, I did have to let go of that thing that I like to do a whole lot. I let go of that addiction that I like to do a whole lot. But what you got to understand is that when you do it, he steps in and says, now that you've made room for me, now that you've gotten rid of some things out of the closet, once you've gotten some rid of things that was holding you back, you've made room for me. Someone say, I'm making room. And once you make room, he can come into your life in an overflow, blessed way. He can come into your life in a growing way. We got so many Christians stuck because we know how to do church, but we don't know how to let God come and take some things out of our closet. But Jesus says, obey my commandments. And when you obey his commandments, it's going to challenge you. Can I just be pastor for a moment? When you obey his commandments, it's going to challenge you. When I played football, there was never a coach that said, you know, do you want to do laps today? You don't want to do laps? Okay, we won't have to do them. No, he challenged me. He said, y'all lost by 21. You're going to do 28 laps. Get to it. It was a challenge. And it was not to destroy us, but it was to build us. Anything Jesus says for your life is to build you. It's to strengthen you. A lot of times you lose muscle mass when you don't use it. We've got a lot of Christians who have lost their faith muscle because they haven't used it. That's why Jesus came in and he said, I want you to believe on this for faith. Obey my commands. And it's a challenge. But because he challenged you and when you obey it, he says you're building your faith muscle. You'll go from baby faith to crazy faith when you finally believe and when you finally obey. But his words are to build you and to grow you. So you got to get challenged sometimes. Tell your neighbor, get challenged. You see, following Jesus and his commands for our lives protects us. They pull us out of potential situations we were about to throw ourselves in. Watch this. Just imagine driving down a long highway next to a lake, and the GPS says, keep going straight. But you said, I feel like going right. So you turn right. How many knows you're going to end up in a place of frustration? You're going to be soaking wet. You're going to be in a place of fear. You're going to be in a place of anxiety now. You're going to be in the place of setback now. And you're going to be in the place of you can't move forward anymore simply because you didn't listen to the instruction. You see, many times it wasn't the enemy who attacked you. It was the I felt like it that got you messed up. Many times it wasn't the enemy who attacked you. It was the I felt like it that got us messed up. I felt like going and getting turned. That's what got you messed up. I felt like going on a date with him. That's what got you messed up. Pastor David knows because I was tripping into DMs. I wasn't sliding. I was tripping. And the Lord was like, you know they ain't the one. I said, Lord, I feel like it. And he's like, I'm going to let you go feel like it until you learn your lesson and come back to me. A lot of the times we are in a place of, I feel like it. But Jesus didn't say, if you feel like it, keep my commandments. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You're with me today. Did you see that? So a lot of times it wasn't the enemy. It was, I felt like it. When we get to a place when we say, my feel like it is above my obedience to his commands, you will always find yourself in a place of destruction. You will always find yourself in a place of anxiety, in a place of fear, in a place of hurt, in a place of repeated routines, in a place of repeated relationships, in a place of repeated yokes of bondage, because you're not in a place of obedience, you're in a place of I feel like it. Watch. And until we can get rid of the I feel like it, we cannot move forward in our walk with Christ. That's good. Amen. Clap your hands for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. That's why we can't ignore the GPS of God's word in our lives. It's guiding. It's protecting. And it gets us to the place of destiny without the pain, without the struggle, and without the hurt. Did you know you don't have to struggle every single day of your life? Sometimes things are going good, and you're like, why are things going so good? And God's like, because I'm blessing you. Did you know God wants to bless you? God wants you to have a good life. God wants you to be filled to overflow. He doesn't want you empty. He doesn't want you dry. So many times when things are going good, stay good. Don't get in your feelings. Stay in obedience and keep going straight. Amen. You see, saints of God, the major key to building a firm foundation is obedience to his word. Not obey. He didn't say obey your feelings. He didn't say obey the culture. He didn't say obey that relationship. He didn't say obey your boss. He said obey my commandments. Now, for some of you, yes, you should work with your boss. Amen. I just heard someone, I don't got to obey my boss. You still need to work with them in leadership. Amen. Obedience. Obedience is the key to building a firm foundation. Obedience. Now, did you know there's actually two parts to obedience? Hearing plus doing equals obedience. Now, I just dropped a little nugget on you for a moment. So get out your phone. You need to tweet it. You need to write it down. Look at this. Hearing plus doing equals obedience. Pastor David, well, I don't know about that. Let me prove it to you through Scripture. You ready? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Anyone who listens here to my teaching and follows it do is wise. I'm going to say that again. Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Next verse. Though the rains come in torrents and the flood waters rise, and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built upon bedrock. As you can see here, hearing plus doing equals obedience. I'm going to let that sink in. Jesus says those who listen and follow, or those who do, those who act upon. A lot of the times we hear the word, but there is no action. We church people, we good at hearing. We good at, hey, ma'am. We're good at hearing the word. But then he says there is doing. Hearing plus doing equals obedience. Are you seeing that this morning? A lot of times we hear, but there's no action, and that doesn't equal obedience. That's why the Bible says those who hear the word but then don't do it are only fooling themselves. If you come in every Sunday and you hear me, you hear all of us preaching, we throwing down, we dropping wisdom nuggets, we are shouting, we're going in the presence, but you never do anything that you hear, you're only fooling yourself. The Bible says that those who hear and don't do are ones who go look in the mirror, and by the time they turn around, they forget what they look like. So that's why we got so many Christians who come to church, they hear the word, but then they go out into the world and forget their identity in Christ. They forget that they are washed in the blood. They forget that the past is under his cross. They forget that he is a good God. They forget that he has all the power you need in your life. They forget that through his word is the path my life needs to go down. Because you got to be a doer of his word, not just a hearer. Someone say amen. Watch this. Or sometimes we're out there doing. We're out there striving. Pastor David, I'm doing something. But because we didn't hear the right instruction, it still fails. Hearing plus doing equals obedience. So you could be doing, but if it wasn't in the instructions Jesus gave you, it's still not obedience. And it's still going to fail. It's still going to mess up in our lives. Hearing plus doing equals obedience. Thank you very much. So if we want to accomplish things in our life, if we want to build a firm foundation, we have to have hearing and doing. So that's why Jesus says, those who listen and do are those who are built upon a firm foundation. Jesus compares it to a house builder who builds their house on solid rock. Saints of God, it's so important that we are hearers and doers of his word. Mm-hmm. So if you hear God speaking to you to read the Bible this week, don't be just a hearer, be a doer. If God says, I want you to pray more this week, don't be just a hearer, be a doer. If God says, I want you to sow the seed in that person over there that's struggling, don't just be a hearer, be a doer. Because it's hearing plus doing that equals obedience. And Jesus says those who do that are wise and they're built upon a firm foundation. Amen. Now watch this. Let's go to verse 26 and 27. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Now this is not Pastor David speaking. This is Pastor Jesus. Amen. So if you get offended at him. Amen. He says, like a person who builds a house on sand. Verse 27, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When we substitute obedience to his word for anything else, we become sandy Christians. Jesus puts it plain as day. You can hear my teachings, but if you don't do them, you became sandy. Someone say, don't be sandy. You're going to remember that. Someone who is sandy looks like they have it all together. But every time the storm comes, they end up saying, God, this is it. I can't do this anymore, God. God, I'm falling to the hole of hopelessness again. God, it's a black hole. I don't know where else to go. God, what is left for me? I have no more hope. You're a little sandy. Someone say, just a little sandy. When we hear Jesus calling us to go pray and we don't do it, you're being sandy. When you're sandy, you are more concerned with the image than the foundation. When you're sandy, you're more concerned about the image than the foundation. You see, the problem was not that the house was built. The problem was that the house was built on sand. A lot of times we strive so much to get the image right, but we forgot about the foundation. We know the image of church, but do you have the foundation of doing his word? Oh, I'm hitting deep this morning. You see, a lot of times we focus so much on image, but you know, I would rather take time building a foundation than hurry things up and get all prettied up. That's why, women, I believe you guys have what they call foundation. Y'all put it on first, right? I don't know all this stuff. And then you put all the other stuff on, but the foundation had to go on first. If the foundation didn't go on, everything else looks off. Come on, when you don't get the foundation right, everything else is way off. I'm going to say that again. When the foundation's not right, everything in your life is way off. And Jesus said, when you're sandy, the house will always collapse. Pastor David, I feel like I'm always going through turmoil. I feel like the ways of life always defeat me. You're sandy. I want you to see here, the storms don't care who you are. The storms don't care if you're an unbeliever or a believer. The storms don't care if you prayed or you didn't pray. All the storm knows is I'm coming for your house. I'm coming for your money. I'm coming for your family. I'm coming for your children. I'm coming for everybody that you know. I'm coming for them. I'm coming for your dignity. I'm coming for your relationships. I'm coming for you. So what differentiates you and helps you survive is the foundation. Amen. That's why, saints of God, this is so important, because the storms don't care who you are. That's why, saints of God, I want you to get this word so strong in your spirit, because we have had enough of sandy Christians. You see, a sandy person is a shifty person. When you go lay down in sand, after a while, you begin to shift. Sand is annoying. It gets in your toes. It gets all over your body, and you begin to hate it, even though it's comfortable. Sand is shifty. You cannot be firm when you're sandy. We got so many Christians who are trying to grow tall in Christ, but they can never grow. They keep collapsing because they've been too sandy because of lack of obedience to his word. And they've lacked obedience because they've heard, but they haven't do. Saints of God, we are not excluded from the storms. There is not a single person in here who is not excluded for the storms. The difference is, will you fall with a mighty crash? Pastor David, I ain't going to fall. Well, if you have a sandy foundation, you will fall every time. But Jesus said, those who obey my commandments, those who listen and follow, who obey, are those who are built upon a firm foundation. You want your relationships to stop crashing? Get back to His Word. You want your career life to stop crashing? Get back to His Word. You want your emotional life to stop crashing and have turmoil? Get back to His Word. You want to have peace in your life? Get back to His Word. Because even though the storm comes, when the foundation is good, you can be shaken, but you ain't going to fall. You can be shaken, but you ain't going to crash. You can be shaken, but you ain't going to be destroyed. I've come to talk to some believers this morning who say, I'm coming to build a firm foundation that says no matter what comes in my life, I will obey His Word, and it may shake me, but it's not going to destroy me. In Jesus' name. You see, obedience to God's Word, I'm about to hit y'all with a nugget here in just a second. Obedience to God's Word isn't a one-time thing. It's a consistent investment of our time and energy. There is process in obedience. Did you know how long it takes to build a foundation for a house? If you've got a big house, can take anywhere between 4 to 6 weeks or longer. Imagine if I sometimes take 3 months just to build the foundation. But just imagine if I said, Jeff, go outside and build me a foundation. He goes, okay. He goes out, he pours concrete for 1 day. He leaves, comes back the next day and starts building. The house would still crash. Because watch this. Momentary obedience is as destructive as building on a sandy foundation. Momentary obedience is as destructive as building on a sandy foundation. Lord, I obeyed you. I did your word, but you did it for a moment. I'm going to let that sink in. Because when the Lord gave me this, I was like, did you just say that to me? A lot of times we as Christians, we know how to live in the moment. But He says, I want you to live in the process. I know I'm hitting you deep this morning. You want to live in the moment. But He says, I want you to live in the process. This whole relationship thing is a process. You see, that's why a lot of relationships fail, is because we was living for the moment. And there was no process. My relationship with my wife, it's been a process. It wasn't a one-moment thing and, oh, yay, all right. It was a process. That's why so many times we think coming to Christ is a moment. Yes, it's a moment. I can go do whatever I want now. That was momentary obedience. And we are now on sandy foundation. So, saints of God, listen to Pastor David this morning. If you want to live a life that can be shaken but not go down and crashing and not go down. You always find yourself in the same routines, always find yourself in the same yokes of bondage, always find yourself facing the same storm over and over and over again. You need to build a firm foundation. And the first major step to that is obedience to His Word. And obedience to His Word consistently. It's not a moment, but it's consistent investment. Now, I know I just hit you. I hit you with the deep spiritual nugget right there. But why I want to encourage you is that when you obey, God says, keep obeying me. Keep obeying my word. Keep trusting the process, and your life will change. The problem is that we were expecting I want an instantaneous gratification. I want an instantaneous turnaround. And sometimes God says the turnaround's coming, but it's coming through the process. Because I had to take you through the process to grow you, to take you to your next level. Because so many times if we just want a momentary thing, we just want an instantaneous thing, that doesn't grow you, that just satisfies you. I'm going to say that again. If all we want is a momentary thing, if all we want is an instantaneous thing, it doesn't grow you, it just satisfies you. Like relationships, one night stand, that didn't grow you, it just satisfied you. Can I be real this morning? You went out, you got a budget, but then you went and spent $14,000 on a new car. It was just, it didn't grow you, it satisfied you. Are you hearing Pastor David this morning? I warned y'all, this is a mature word. Jesus says, true growth is through the process. Pastor David, I've been trying to pray and my prayer life is not growing. Did you stay consistent to the process, or were you looking for a one-time thing with Jesus? A lot of times we look for a one-time, one-night stand with Jesus, and he's looking for a relationship. Oh, I'm preaching today. Relationship takes you past just the one-night things and takes you into the all-night things. You see, when I came in a relationship with my wife and we got married, amen. Now, y'all interpret that how you want to. I did not finish the sentence. But do you see what I'm saying about relationship? It became no longer about just, I want instant gratification. But now, I want to see her grow gray hair. Now, I want to give her all the babies she wants. Now, I want to give her the house that she wants. I want to give her the property that she wants. I want to give her the movie studio that she wants. I want to give her the dining theater that she wants. I want to give it all to her because it's not just about a moment. It's about the process. Process makes you think about 60 years from now. Process in relationship makes you think, Jesus, I love you. I loved you last week, and it wasn't just a moment. Where are you going to take me 30 years from now? That's process. I'm challenging you this morning. Because I'm talking about a firm foundation. I'm not talking about a shifty foundation. I'm not talking about a foundation that satisfies you. Did you know that doing the dirty work is not always satisfying? Pouring concrete is not always satisfying. But man, when I get to the beach and I put my towel down, I just lay in the sand, I'm like, oh, this is satisfying. A lot of times we focus on satisfaction rather than a firm foundation. Okay. Saints of God, this walk with Christ is more about obedience to him than sometimes satisfaction. You see, it's through obedience and through the process that you will find satisfaction. That's why Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and I will add all these things unto you. We have flipped our seek, and when you flip your seek, you have the wrong foundation. We got to understand that there is process in obedience. It may take a little bit, but God, I'm going to stay consistent to your word. I'm going to stay consistent to your promises. I'm going to stay obedient to you because I'm building a firm foundation. I'm not going to compare and let what their house looks like deter me from pressing into the process. Never let comparison make you abandon the process. I'm going to say that again. Never let comparison make you abandon the process. So many times you've been working on your foundation. God says, I want you to go back to the prayer closet because I want to give you the relationship, but I got to get you straight first. So you go back to the prayer closet. You start praying. You start building the foundation. He starts healing you. And then you start comparing to these couple over here and that couple over there. Well, they're married, and they're married, and they're married. And a lot of times we will abandon the process that God has us on to go because we are trying to compare and we're trying to match with someone else. And God's saying, where are you going? Are we still building the foundation? And so before I can build you the house, I got to get you to build the foundation in the prayer closet, in the secret place. I got to have you go back to the word. I got to have you go back and let go of some of those soul ties. I got to have you go back and give up the things that you've been addicted to. I got to have you go back and drop that porn finally. I got to have you go back and drop that yoke of bondage on your life. Until we can get back to the foundation, your house will always crash. Stop comparing yourself to someone else's house, because while you see the house, while you see the facade, while you see the image, you don't see that they're on a sandy foundation. A lot of times we've let comparison take our Christianity into a place of destruction because it looked good, it felt good, and it satisfied. But saints of God, don't you abandon the process. Don't you abandon his word. Don't you stop obeying now. Don't you stop building the foundation now, because I've come to declare and decree. He says that when you're built upon a firm foundation, when the flood waters come, when the rains come, you may be shaken, but the house will still stand. I've come to declare and decree this morning that when you obey the word, word of God, your house still stands. Your relationship still stands. Your finances still stand. Your body still stands. In the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody give up and shout and give God a praise, because we're building a firm foundation and we are not going to compare to anybody else. But we are a generation, we are a church that says, I'm going to obey His word, I'm going to hear, I'm going to do. And when I do, the floodwaters cannot stop me anymore in the name of Jesus. And how? You see, when a house, that was good. I thought that was the Holy Ghost. Watch this. When the house has a bad foundation, it has creaky doors. It has mold. It has water leaks. It has cracks in the walls. It has all kinds of problems. All you saw was the outside of that person's house. But inside, there was cracks. Inside, there were some moldy places. Never let comparison make you abandon the building process. Pastor David didn't walk into his promised relationship until I finally learned to stop comparing. I let comparison bring me out of the foundation process, bring me into some bad relationships, y'all. Because it wasn't because I desired bad relationship, it's because I compared and said, I want the image that they have. When Jesus says, I have an image for you, you can't even think or ask or imagine. He says, just trust me enough, thank you, Lord. Just have baby faith enough to build the foundation, and I will build the rest of the house for you. That's so good. You see, when you're on a sandy foundation, you fold to the storm. But when you have a firm foundation, you are a storm defeater. Jesus said, although the rains came and they beat against the house still stands. And I'm excited to see, saints of God, each and every one of you with a spiritual house that still stands, that stands for the truth, that says, Satan, no matter what you throw at me, life, no matter what you throw at me, relationships, no matter what you throw at me, my spirit house still stands. You see, because the house that stands becomes the refuge for those who were on the sandy foundation. The house on the firm foundation now becomes the refuge, the place of safety for those who had their house built on a sandy foundation. A lot of people out there will never step into this temple, but they will run to your house for the refuge. But if your house is collapsed because you compared, there is no places of safety for the unbelievers out there. That's why this message is so important. Because we have to have a firm foundation, because you don't know, Jesus is building you as a place of refuge for those who have collapsed in the storm, those who have struggled with depression, those who have struggled with addiction. They come to you and you say, brother and sister, you don't got to worry about a thing, because I know the author and finisher of my faith. I know the deliverer. I know the King of Kings. I know the Lord of Lords, and I know him because I'm built on a firm foundation. The foundation of our lives starts with obedience to His word. He didn't say obedience to your feelings. Obedience to His word. Now I want to prove to you why Jesus said all this. You ready? John 15, as I come to a close. John 15, 10 through 11. This is Pastor Jesus. He says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Look at this. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Let me encourage you, saints of God. Jesus spoke all these things so you will live a life of overflow. But a life of overflow never happens until there is hearing and doing. That's why the Bible says, faith without works is dead. Oh, I feel you, Lord. I ask everyone to stand to their feet this morning as I come to a close. That's why in this church we believe in the fullness of Jesus Christ. because we believe that he's destined for us a life of the overflow. Did you know obedience to his word will save you from a lot of headaches? Even though it's hard, sometimes obeying his word is hard. Sometimes, because he's got to get you out of the real dark place, and you're saying, well, Pastor Jesus, I made that decision. And he says, I know you made that decision, but if you hear my word now, it may seem like you're taking 50 steps back, but he says, once I get your foundation built, I'll build you the house that you could have never imagined. But it comes through obeying his word. Jesus never speaks to us to condemn us or harm us, but Jesus speaks to us to bless us, to save us from ourselves, to save us from times of turmoil. He speaks to us to build us up so strong the storms of life cannot shake us anymore. That's why he speaks to us. So listen to me, saints of God. I know this was a heavy word this morning. And if it challenges you, that's a good thing. Please hear me this morning. If you felt challenged or convicted or your toes were stepped on or you felt a little pricked, anyone felt a little pricked this morning? You ever heard? People, I'm not even going to raise my hand. Because he's going to come pray for me. If you felt pricked, that's okay. It's a good thing. Sometimes we need to be pricked to begin to move forward. He's not leading you into a trap. He's leading you into blessing. He's leading you into overflow. Jesus said, yes, your joy will overflow. There is more for you than turmoil. There is more for you than the crazy mountains you're facing. There is more for you, and it's called overflow. It's called joy overflow, and it's by obeying his commands. And there may be someone here, well, I obey his commands. Well, just watch. He'll test you again this week. Because remember what Pastor David said, momentary obedience is just as destructive as building a sandy foundation. We got to be consistent to the process. When we do that, you will see crazy growth for your life. You'll go from baby faith to crazy faith. You'll see yourself stepping into new realms of new anointing, of new prayer life, of new worship life. You'll find yourself loving coming to church. A lot of people don't like coming to church because you get shaken in here. And when you're on a sandy foundation, you're afraid the walls are going to fall. That's why you're so scared. They love the Lord, don't they? You're just on a little sandy foundation, but he says, get back to obedience and watch me build you on the bedrock. You know, Pastor David, I have a lot of joy in my life, and I'm not gloating or anything. I want to set an example. I have a lot of joy and peace in my life. That when people tell me stuff, oh, this person said this, and at the church we need to do this, and this is going on, Pastor David, and that's going on, I'm just like, okay. It doesn't, oh my God, I'm hopeless now. It doesn't do that to me because I'm built on a firm foundation. And that's his word. As I make my last point today, he said, if you obey my words, not your feelings, not the culture, not the image of the world that they want for you. He says, as you obey my word, a lot of us have been slowed down and building the foundation because you need to get back to his word. We got to get back to the truth. The truth ranks above our feelings. The truth ranks above our desires. And the truth says, you will be made free. That's so good. Now listen, in this in a prayer, I know a lot of you are thinking about this. A lot of you are like, And I challenge you, go back to the word this week. Let it challenge you. Let it shake you a little bit. Let it make you start taking the steps of obedience. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's all bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this mature word. God, we know that it was a deep word, but we thank you for it. We thank you for the deep word. We thank you, God, that you're challenging us, you're bringing us forward, and you're building us on a firm foundation. So God, we just pray over each and every person that is here today. We pray, God, that you would bless each and every person. And God, we ask, Lord, I ask you challenge each and every person today. I ask, Lord, that during this week you challenge them, Lord, to obey a command that they haven't obeyed in a long time. I ask, Lord, that you would challenge them, Father, Lord, just to hear your voice more and be doers of your word. And God, we thank you that as we are challenged, we are growing in you. I thank you, Lord, that as we are growing in you, we're building a firm foundation. And God, I thank you that as we build a firm foundation, the storms cannot have our house. The storms cannot have our families. The storms cannot have us anymore, God. And Lord, I thank you that as we're challenged, as we grow, as we build our foundation, as we obey your commands, Lord, you said we would live a life and overflow. So God, we just pray your blessing upon each and every person. And Father, we receive this word and we seal it in the Spirit in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 I invite Apostle to come at this time. Amen. Give us further direction.
How many believe that was a right now word? Give God praise for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Pastor David. The wisdom that was involved in that. Also, if you go on to my page, or the members can go on the membership page, during that message, I printed, because sometimes people say, well, what are the commandments? So that your feelings don't get trying to pick a commandment, just pick this, pick that. On the site is the 50 commands of Christ in the New Testament, because we start with the ones that are in the Word. That way we can understand how he is speaking to us. So there are 50 commandments, such as love thy neighbor as thyself. That's a commandment. And when we do those commands, how many feel your foundation getting stronger already, and you know that this, the daily walk is going to make it even more strong? Hallelujah. Give God a praise once again for the Word of God and the meat. And if you would like to sow to bless Pastor David, and we haven't asked for a while that direction, would like to do so. Miss Megan, would you put his Cash App up there? If you'd like to sow a seed and connect, because you know that the Word is truthful, and just say, I just want to bless you. I know you got a baby coming up in April, and I just want to bless you. Thank you for giving that word that blessed my life. Then you can do so. They're looking for it right now. It's a Cash App, David McClintock 95.
Dollar sign.
That's right. Dollar sign, David McClintock 95. And then you may be seated just for a moment. Hallelujah. Because we're going to be going back that direction, and we're going to release Miss Selena with the announcements. Those that may have a special need in your body and other things that they're giving, you've got your forms, your prayer forms. I want to make sure that you get them into my hand. I believe that before tonight is up, there's going to be some healings already manifest. Thank you for two that believe. I don't even need your amens, because I already know there's going to be some healings manifest. But thank you for saying amen anyway. Come tonight expecting your healing and your miracle. Now, the Lord may give you some instructions of what to do. Because how many knows that if you get healed, but you're putting into your body something that's toxic, that could destroy the healing process. So the Lord may deal with you. So some things that you don't need, that hate you, that don't need to be put in your mouth to get in your body. Other times the Lord will heal in those areas. So tonight at 6, I'm going to be praying, laying hands on people tonight at 6, as well as praying over. There's going to be also multiple prayer people that are leading out in prayer. And we're going to see God do the supernatural. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you believe it? Good, good, good. Praise God. Miss Selena's coming with the announcements.